This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Hallelujah. Just want to read out of Isaiah 26. So I'm going to read from verse 1 and to verse 4. In that day, you know we're in that day? In that day, used to talk about it in the old days, but we're in that day. These are the last days. These are the last days we're in. These are the last days we're in. They're exciting times because we're going to see the greatest manifestation of the glory of God that this world has ever seen. The Bible says, God cried out, surely as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. It's actually the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Blinded eyes are going to be open to see his glory. The devil who's been blinding the minds of those who do not believe, we're going to break those down. We're going to see the glory of God revealed in our generations. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. Judah means praise. This song will be sung in the land of Judah. I want you to have this song in your heart. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. He also says about, he says that he'll call his walls in Isaiah salvation, and the gates he will call what? Praise. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Praise God. I just want to continue talking about what I was talking about in the area of the mind. We're to love God not only with all of our heart, but with all of our mind. Just do a quick recap. We're to love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind and our strength. But it's our mind, and we can all say, oh, I love God with my heart, but we're to love God with all of our mind as well. And, you know, so how do we do that? I was talking about that it says in Ephesians and Colossians that we were all once controlled by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. You know, that spirit works in disobedience. The prince of the power of the air, Satan, and all his demonic hordes, they work in the sons of disobedience. So how important it is to be obedient. When we hear God say to do something, we need to do it, trusting him with all of our heart. So that spirit works in the sons of disobedience, and it says we all once walked according to the course of this world and according to that demonic prince, and we fulfilled the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and of the mind. In other words, we were doing what we thought was right. And what does God say in Isaiah 54? He says, I don't think the way you guys think. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So who has to change? We have to change. And I love it that, you know, the whole story of Israel coming out of bondage, coming out of God was trying to get them to think the way he thought. He wanted them to see what he wanted them to see, what he saw and what he had provided for him, what he had in store for them. God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Jeremiah 29, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Thoughts of peace, thoughts of a future and a hope to give you an expected end. You know, a hope, an expected end. How many have a foreboding sense, you know, an expectation of an end that's not good? an end of failure, an end of hopelessness, an end where things don't work out. God says he wants to give us an expected end, an end with a hope in it. That's the thoughts he has towards us. So when Jesus came, John the Baptist came, Jesus came, he said, repent, change your mind, change the way that you think, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you know, when you go to a different nation and it has different cultures, you go to the airport, to actually go into that nation, you need to find out what are the laws of that nation. Because if you assume that you can take the laws of our nation into another nation and get away with it, well, you're going to be in big trouble. I found out that I didn't. Well, actually, I suppose I did. I found out the hard way. Nearly got put in prison. Nearly got captured because they thought I was doing something that was wrong in the laws of another nation. I tell you, that's quite a scary thing. So, how much more when the kingdom of God is at hand? It's right here, right now. It's right here, right now, the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? It's not meat or drink. It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Have you got the joy of the Lord? It's unshaken. And Peter, you know what Peter says? Oh, brothers, you guys that are going through a fiery trial right now, you might be at the point of you losing your life. You might have lost everything. As Paul said to the Hebrews, where's that confidence and where's that faith you had right at the beginning? He says, you had your houses taken away from you. You were kicked out of your own homes and houses. You had all of your goods taken away. And he said, you were rejoicing. You were actually rejoicing. Something kicked in from heaven. When all these things were taken away, you got a revelation of what you've got in heaven and you started rejoicing. And Peter says, you guys are in a fiery trial. He says, you can rejoice with exceeding great joy. What does Jesus say? Blessed are you when you are persecuted, when they accuse you, when they persecute, kill you like the prophets. He said, rejoice with exceeding great joy, for great is your reward in heaven. Are these all just nice sayings that have no reality to them? Or is there a reality to what Jesus has said? The kingdom of God is at hand. It is a reality that we need to be living in. Not just have a mental kind of assent, oh, that's a nice thought. That's a nice saying. It's much more than that. It's a reality. The power of the kingdom is right here, right now. If you can believe, all things are possible. What stops us our believing? Unbelief. Repent, change your mind. All these thoughts in our minds, it might be your experience in life, it might have been the things that you have gone through. And yes, that can be a block in our lives, but it's a lie. Every stronghold must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. They must come down. They must come down. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and there's a demonstration of the kingdom. Why was it when Jesus came to his own hometown, he couldn't do any miracles? Why? He came to his own home. You know what they said? We know him. It's Jesus. I know his father. I know his mother. I know his brothers. We know him. This can't be right. And they could not believe because of this stronghold. Would you call that a demonic stronghold? It's not a nasty one like lust and perversion and murder and those sorts of things, but it's just as much a stronghold. Repent. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. They're much higher, much higher. Every stronghold must come down. Every high thing, thank you, I've got to start right. Every high thing must come down. So it's our thinking that we need to change. We have a mind, but it needs to be renewed. It needs to be renewed. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual forces of wickedness in the high places, right? And as it says in Ephesians, we're all once controlled by that spirit. How? Through the mind, through the way that we think. God comes along and says, I'm going to establish my kingdom in you. In you. What did he say to the Jews? He said, the kingdom of God doesn't come for observation. What are you looking for, the latest prophecy to be fulfilled, and suddenly you'll think the kingdom's here or some great miracle? The kingdom of God is within you. What an incredible thing. The kingdom of God is in me. It's in you. Because the King of Glory, when you ask him into your heart, you get him in your mind as well. Get him here as well, because that's where the battle's going on, in our mind. You know, Jesus said, take no thought, no thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. What did he warn? In the last days, we're talking about the last days now. He said, in the last days, take heed lest your hearts, this is Luke 21, take heed lest your hearts be weighed down with what? Cares, anxieties. What does it say in Mark chapter 4? He's talking about the sower sowing the word. This word that can produce 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. This word that is supernatural, it always produces where it's sown. This word, he talked about different hearers. One of them was about the cares, the one sown among thorns. What was it? The cares, anxieties, the deceitfulness, the care for things. Boy, this world's got many things now. I was thinking the other day, life, maybe, you know, back of quite a few years, it was a lot simpler. You could still get hassles and complications and all those sorts of things, but there wasn't as many things that clutter our lives, was there? Jesus is talking about the most basic, don't worry about what you eat, you drink, or you wear. He didn't even get to houses, cars, bikes, boats, caravans. Watching the news last night, apparently caravans is the number one booming business in Australia. But all these things that we can get our lives cluttered up with, that's only, you know, a small number of things. So many things we can get our lives cluttered up. And Jesus said, take heed lest your hearts be weighed down, overburdened. What's the problem with that? Jesus wants, I love those old songs. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. What does it say? He sounded forth a trumpet that will never sound defeat. He's sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be swift, my soul, to answer him. You know, why aren't we swift to answer him? But, what about? What about? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about my family? What about my goods? What about my riches? What about? Be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. His truth is marching on. He's looking for a people who are free. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. So let's say in 2 Corinthians 3, it says, Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, We do not war according to the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are they? Proud thoughts, vain imaginations. Every thought, proud thoughts, vain imaginations, strongholds, is every thought that would exalt itself above this word, above the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to bring every thought into obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is on the throne and he wants you there and me there with him. He wants us to see from his position. The scripture says it. It says that we've been raised up and made to sit together with him in the heavenly places. So why can't we see it? That's probably why Paul prays. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be open, that you might know the hope of your calling, the exceeding riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power that is available to us. Why? What? Because we believe. This heart being set free. It's the mind where the battle is going on. And that I just believe God is... when we're singing that song, did you feel the presence of God there when we're singing that? Every high thing must come down. I'll tell you where the victory is not in you getting strong, not in you getting it all together. The victory is actually in your greatest moment and time of weakness. When you're weak, that's when you're going to be strong. Why is that? Because that's where you're at the cross. That's where there's the laying down of your life. Anything else, like the Pharisees, they couldn't hear the gospel that Jesus... It was the prostitutes, the tax collectors and the sinners that came running and received it with joy. Because they'd given up trying to be good and be strong in their own strength, because they were total failures. The Pharisees didn't realize that they were exactly the same boat, because they were still trying to get enough knowledge, still trying to get enough strength in their will, still trying to work it out by willpower, work it out by strength of intelligence or physical strength. They were still trying to do it. It's at the cross where we started. And it's at the cross we're going to finish. That's the victory. He rose again from the dead so that we can say with absolute confidence, it's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who what? Loved me. Do you know? You know, Karen's been teaching about love, and it's so spot on. He loved me. Are you secure in that love? Paul prays again. I pray for a revelation of the height, the depth, the width, the length of your love that what? Passes the understanding. Passes this. If you're still trying to work it out, ask God for a revelation of it. Stop trying to work it out. Stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to push it away. Because it's there. It's there for every one of us. Kingdom of God, and it's right here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Trust. Trust is the firm foundation, the solid rock on which the strongholds and fortresses of a mind stayed on God are built. You will keep, Isaiah 26, we read it, you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Hallelujah. Now I just want to, says in all of our problems are here because God's done it all. Tell me, is it? Just you think God needs to add anything to the work What did Jesus say in his last breath? Finished. And what was finished? The whole, it's finished. The whole work was Jesus Christ did it all. He did it all completely. He set every captive free, broke down every wall, broke down every stronghold, defeated our enemies completely. Completely. He did it all. It is finished. It says in Romans, it talks about, in Romans 7, was Paul, he's talking about, you know, what he wants to do. He knows to do the right thing and he doesn't do it. So he knows in his mind, I said, I know the right thing and I try to do it, but I don't end up doing it. And I know the wrong thing, and that's the thing I end up doing, even though I don't want to do it. And he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body? Isn't that interesting? From this body of death. Body of death. Right? So then you get to Romans 8, and what does he say? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's just read it. We'll get it right. Yeah, just the end of chapter 7, it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are outside of Christ Jesus. Good. Did that deliberately, so we think that's the key. In Christ Jesus. And this is the ones who are in Christ who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now here's the key, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. In other words, that's what they think about. That's what we think about. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, which is setting your mind on the things of the flesh, carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on you. Hallelujah. So here's where it comes down to the ground, if you like, where the rubber hits the road. Paul says in Romans 12, after he explains, gets all the way through here, gets all the way explaining, you know, all the works of man, the failure of man, the trying of the Jews and the Gentiles far off, and he explains all of those efforts never got us anywhere near God, but God sent his own Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Romans 12, he says this, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, don't say your mind, he says your body. What are you going to do? Present your body. You know, these bodies are vessels that God wants to fill. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, the glory of it, will be seen to be obviously not us, but him. He gets all the glory. But we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, You know, I used to think, gee, I wish it was just a one-off thing. Why did I say that? Because I still want to set my mind on things of the flesh. That's the reality. I still want to, I want to juggle both. That's where your problem is. That's where you will never, never succeed. James said, don't let a double-minded man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Isaiah the prophet, when challenging a whole nation that had two gods, they were serving God. They loved God with all their hearts. They loved God with all their hearts. They also served Baal. And he said, how long are you guys going to be crippled between two opinions? You've got to make a choice. That's what the kingdom of God does to us. You're going to walk in it, and every day you've got that choice, not just to say a one-off surrender, one-off sacrifice, but daily, what do we do? Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to daily take up your cross. Deny self. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. That's the way it is. I would love a one-off, bought me a ticket, stuck it in my pocket, I'm right, saved forever. You've got to walk in it. Present your body as a living sacrifice. What does the Bible say? Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, it's just reasonable form of worship. Not just how much you sing, not how great you sing, not how great the words are, or all the things that we can do, but it's your body on the line, everything that you are. And he died for us, gave everything for us so that we give everything to him. And then it says, don't be conformed to this world. This world pressures you, doesn't it? How many are pressured by the world? I am. I think we all are. We're pressured by the world. That's why we have to daily take up our cross, deny ourselves. Don't be conformed to this world, the way this world thinks, the way this world behaves, the way this world dictates us to live and behave, the things that it says that we have to have to be content. You just have to watch telly and you're going to be miserable if you don't have all the things that telly tells you you should have to be happy. It's certainly conformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but what does it say? Be transformed by the renewing of your word. And that word, by the renewing of your mind. So it comes back to that. How many builders? I know there's a few builders, like Graham there, and different ones are building homes. Oh, and Errol as well, doing a bit of renovating. And just think, you know, when you renovate, think about that word. That word renewing means renovate. If you need to renovate a house, you pull a lot down, don't you? You're going to rip down walls, rip off the old, you know, to completely, well, hallelujah, God's doing renovating because he says, I don't think like you do. You got to change. I've got to change. So he starts coming in, doing some renovating. Hallelujah, isn't that good news? Isn't that great when he starts to renovate? God, I just want to be peaceful, God. I just want to have everything nice and I don't want to harm anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. Why are you doing these things to me? Why did you give me a wife? Sorry. Why did you give me a husband like, why did you give me a family like this? Why did you allow, why did you put me in a workplace like this? Why have you put me in association with people like this? Why have you put me in a church like this for? So that we can be part of those tools that God uses. Polish. Yeah, that's after the ripping, isn't it? The polishing comes last, doesn't it? Cut and polish, yeah. So he does that because he wants to renovate so that we think the way he thinks. I just want to finish with this. We're in the last days. Boy, there's a need. There is such a need for the renewing of our minds to really, God wants to give revelation, but he can't because we can't see unless this happens. We can't see what God's, what God said to Jeremiah the prophet? He said, Jeremiah, I've ordained you a prophet to the nations. And he says to him, I've put my word in your mouth. And he said, I made you a prophet to the nations and kingdom, nations and kingdoms. And he says, you're going to rip up. You're going to tear down. You're going to destroy. Then you're going to build and then you're going to plant. What did Jesus say? Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. It also applies, everything that my Father hasn't built will be torn down. And that's those words, kingdoms and nations, I believe those demonic strongholds that must come down and must be torn down in our lives so that we think the way that God thinks. We're in the last days. It says in Matthew 25, there's a parable Jesus gives. He said, then the kingdom of heaven in those days, last days, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. Now, we all know the story, don't we? What was the deal? 5 were wise, 5 foolish, and we know they all had lamps, and the virgins were there, 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom, and even if he comes at the midnight hour, they had to be prepared and ready with their lamps burning, and that applies to every single one of us. 5 were foolish. They all had their lamps burning. All of them, you sing, obviously I love that old song, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Well, we've all got lamps. You know, the candle of the Lord is, what's that script? I got it wrong. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart and of the life. Well, so 5 had their lamps and they were burning, but they were foolish. 5 had their lamps burning, but what did they have that was different? They had oil where? In their vessels. You know what God said about Paul? He's a chosen vessel. We have this treasure, what? In earthen, your bodies? Earthen vessels, this treasure. Our spirit is the candle of the Lord. They all had lamps, all had them burning, but only 5 had oil in their vessel. You know, the Bible says that we're to be filled with the Spirit. And it's not just talking about a one-off thing that's happened in the past or occasionally at church. It's to be continually filled, continually have that oil so that your mind is stayed up, your mind filled with the Spirit, your body filled with it, your soul, your emotions filled with the Spirit of God. Not just your spirit. See, you witness to the truth because that's the candle of the Lord. We all know that. We all know the truth. Then the Bible says that in Proverbs that the candle or the lamp of the wicked, they've got a lamp, will be put out, will go out. The five wise had oil in their vessels, and we need to have the same. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:4, Paul talking to the Thessalonians about sexual purity, and he said each one of us must need to know how to possess what? Our vessel in honour and sanctification as the temple of the Holy Spirit. All right, it's a temple. Our bodies are the temple. Don't you know that? Do you know your body is a temple? What are you filling it with? If the Bible says we're to be filled, okay, with the oil, let me ask you this. If I had a container here and I filled it half full of rocks and then the other half lollies, can't think of anything, okay? Would it be full? Yeah. is full, but it's full of two things. Could you say it's filled with rocks? No. Could you say it's filled with lollies? No, you'd have to say it's filled with both. Where to be what? Filled with the Spirit. What I'm saying out of that is the cares, the anxieties of life, all the, you know, we're to cast all our cares on Him, the desire for riches and other things entering in, it chokes the Word. So, yeah, we've got the Word in us, we've got the Spirit in us, but it's only half full. No, I won't pick on my brother. Hallelujah. Okay, can we stand up? Okay, you're a house for God to dwell in. He wants to dwell in every part of your life. He wants to fill you, and we're going to need Him. It's not going to be enough to know about Him. That one said, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did miracles in your name. He said, I never knew you. Because He wants to fill every part of it. We're living in those days right now. Choices need to be made. I wonder how, let's have this thought. I wonder how many of you are living as a victim. If you want to have the victory, here's how to get it. When your enemies or when people curse you, if you just take that and say, oh, I'm going to, I'm a victim, poor me, and why are they doing such mean things about me? You just always be a victim. What does Jesus say? If you want the victory, start blessing them. If people are doing harm to you, if you want to be a victim, just take it and try to keep your heart from being bitter and angry and self-pity. But if you want to be an overcomer, start doing good to them. So there's something you can do so that your body, instead of being filled with self-pity and poor me and victim me, why are these things always happening to me? It's at those points of time that God's going to set you free and give you the victory. Through our God, we shall do valiantly. It is through Him we will tread down our enemies. You know, when we pray spiritual warfare, it's right here. We don't have to go chasing out all over the place to do it. It's right here is where the battle is. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. And He's given us the means to do it. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who despitefully use you and abuse you. If somebody compels you to go a mile, go two. Or you can just be a victim, poor you, and go one. Go two and find the victory. When you're persecuted, we haven't got to that yet, have we? Really? Rejoice with exceeding great joy. Then you're going to enter in to the kingdom that's right at hand because the King of Glory is... What did Peter say? When you're persecuted, when you're suffering, when you do the right thing and you're persecuted for it. That's a hard one, isn't it? You do the right thing and you're falsely accused. Oh man, it's hard to keep your mouth shut and stop the bitterness coming out. Well, how could those nasty people do that? But He says, if you want the victory, He says at those times the Spirit of God and of glory rests upon you. You know, if we want to see the glory, if we want to enter into the glory, we've got to know His sufferings. But what does Paul say about those sufferings? Nothing. Nothing compared to the glory that's to be revealed. God wants to reveal His glory through you and through me. But it's this mind that's got to be changed. This mind that says, poor me, what about me? All that kind of thinking. Cast them down in the name of Jesus. And when you're brought into a circumstance or a situation, look, I'd love the magic wand And sometimes there are demonic spirits that need to be exposed and cast out because they control our thinking. But I want to tell you that it's in your life, right where you are, in your workplace, in your home. Husbands, love your wives. How many times have I harboured not so good thinking towards Bev and gone in this sulky mood, and God said, love her. Well, I do love her. Go to work every day, don't I? I do love her. Poor me. Do I want the victory? Love her. Wives, honour, respect your husband. He doesn't deserve it. He's not doing the right thing. Honour him as to the Lord. Your workplace, the people he puts you around, love them. You don't know my husband. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. He speaks to me bad. Well, God's put you there. Are you a victim or are you an overcomer? Because you can do all things. What did Paul say? I can do all things. He was talking about having no food or having an abundance of food. He said, I can do it all. And I can do it in victory, not as a poor me or as a look at me. I can do it in Christ, all things, and so can you and I. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the entrance of your word. And right now, I just come against every proud thought that would dare to exalt itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he has done, what he has finished. Every vain imagination, every fear and every doubt, every lie, every confusing spirit, every distracting spirit, every spirit of heaviness and care and anxiety, I come against in the name of Jesus Christ, and we cast it down. We cast down that lie. We cast down that accusation. We cast down that proud thought and that fear thought and that worry and that anxiety. We cast it down in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're going to continually be rejoicing in you, praying, Lord, according to your will, with thankfulness, filling our hearts. Because if you're for us, who can be against us? Lord, I thank you for faith that you put in each and every heart. And Lord, as we go forth with our shoes, with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we put on the helmet of salvation. We put on the breastplate of faith and love and righteousness. Lord, we gird ourselves around with truth, Lord, and we take up that shield of faith, Lord, to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. And Lord, we take up the sword of your spirit. Lord, thank you as you prompt us by your spirit to obey your word. Lord, thank you that you will always cause us to triumph. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbold Christian Fellowship.com.